ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
On ABC Sport, your home of cricket.
The Gabba crowd applaud that with good reason. KL Rahul at the end picking up just a single in what looked like a certain boundary. India 2 for 22.
Ends the over, Australia 2 for 22.
It'll take a single, the Aussie pair. 2 for 22.
And it's a Richie number on the board. How good are you at Richie?
2 for 22.
Yeah, no, the great man. Grew up listening to Richie.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio, and on the ABC Listen app.
Ellis comes into bowl to Virat Kohli, who deftly guides it down to third man. Has it got the legs to go for four? It has! Virat Kohli hits the winning runs at the SCG on his final, likely final appearance in Australia. And together with Rohit Sharma, they have guided India to a 9-wicket win over Australia. Form is temporary, class is permanent, and these two have shown a great deal of class at the SCG tonight.
Robin Chipperfield behind the mic last night for ABC Sport as a sold-out SCG saw India turn back the clock and they got what they came for. Rohit Sharma and Virat Kohli putting on a 169-run partnership to guide India to a 9-wicket win. Stuart Clark, former Australian fast bowler, was a part of our commentary team and he joins you on Summer Grandstand on ABC Sport. Safraz, thanks so much for your time.
G'day, Clinchy. It was a great night just listening to the commentary there and listening to the crowd. The crowd was unbelievable. And you're right, they got what they came for. They got to see Rohit Sharma and Virat Kohli go out in fine style.
Which it would have been a bit of a shame if they had left our shores and not been able to have, I guess, an innings of substance or at least a score that meant something for two that have contributed so much to Indian cricket and just their popularity here in Australia. Chatting with Dan Journey, Code Sports chief cricket writer, about what would have been the interest if India wasn't out in these series, these white ball one-day internationals, and it probably wouldn't have been what we saw last night.
Well, yeah, walking into the ground, I think we all knew what we were in for because there was a lot of blue outside and they were all chanting one man's name, Virat, but they wanted to see Rohit do well as well. Yeah, these two guys, and especially Virat, he's been the enemy number one for the Australian fans for over a decade now, and we've all hated him, but we've all loved him at the same time because he's been just such a good player and he used to take it to the Aussies and take it to them in fine style. And he's probably mellowed a little bit. We were watching a little bit of the footage last night. He was smiling and having a laugh. And, he's probably, Virat in his pomp wouldn't have had that sort of emotion or that sort of happiness, I suppose. But it was good to see him get runs. They both walked off hand in hand. And the crowd, they spoke to the host broadcaster for a little while as well after the game. And you could see that they're very respectful. They're very thankful. They lead a far different life to me and you, Clinch. I know that. Look, full credit to them. They've been great for us to watch, great servants of the game, legends of Indian cricket. And, there'll be new ones, but, the greats only coming out long every now and then, and these two can be considered that.
Absolutely. Australia had already claimed the series after victory in Adelaide, but what did you leave from an Australian point of view with last night taking away? Mitch Marsh scored 41 from 50 deliveries, Travis Head 29, Matt Short 30 at that position at number three, and Matt Renshaw with 56 from 58, but in the end it just wasn't enough.
A couple of things. Mitch Marsh is in sparkling touch, and that's why there's so much, there's been a little bit of talk about him jumping into the test team. I don't think that'll happen, by the way, but there's been a bit of talk about it. Matt Short looked pretty good. Matt Renshaw looks like he's in really good nick as well, just watching him live plenty of time. So I'm sure when it comes time, in 4 weeks' time when they're talking about selections for that Ashes team, some of these guys' names will be, bandied about. I'm not sure they'll be in the team, but there's a couple of failures at the top of the order and things like that. And their names could come into the reckoning pretty quickly because they're at that right age. They've played a lot of domestic cricket now and they can bounce in if required and do a job.
Now, on Summer Grandstand, we're doing a 2 for 22 promotion for the Ashes coming up. So I've got a couple of questions to fire to you about the Ashes series, which is about to get underway. When you think of the famous history between Australia and England, what's the first memory that comes to mind for you?
Oh, there you go. The first memory is Graham Dilley knocking Australia over and Bill Athey destroying us in sort of 87, 88, I think it was. That's from Australia losing. But then, you know, you think the dominance of Australia ever since then, 89 Ashes, Warne's miracle ball, whatever it may be. That's sort of the first memories I've got. Tony Alderman getting Graham Gooch out. That happened all the time. So, yeah, it's I'm probably not old enough to talk about Greggy and people like that of yesteryear, but that's my memories of it.
And in terms of the toughest opponent in your generation of the Ashes?
Oh, toughest opponent. It's Andrew Flintoff was right up there. Yeah, look, I was on the sideline, saw a little bit of 05. That was unbelievable. Kevin Peterson, I don't know. They're in a bunch, those guys that I played against. Alistair Cook, Andrew Strauss, I don't know. But Freddie just had that aura about him that when he had ball in hand or he could do it with the bat, he could damage and take the game away from you.
And was there an Ashes moment that lives in your memory? Was it 2005, as you've alluded to there?
No, it's such a bad. Look, I was lucky enough to be in, 6-07. I played in. I'll never forget the day Warne got his 700th wicket. Yeah. I was a deep back to square leg, and he took off in the other direction, and I had to chase him. And it's the loudest roar that I've. It's interesting. I go to football games or cricket games now, and that roar as the players walk out. It was louder than that, and that's the sort of, that'll stick with me forever.
Obviously, leading up to this year's Ashes, there's so much talk and promotion and speculation as to who will be in the team and who won't be. Can you remember in your time, was it different back then? Did it have the same exposure as what it has now?
It wasn't social media, or social media was just starting to come to the fore. But I think we get in 3 or 4 days before, we'd all played a bit of shield cricket, and then the team was sort of set. And you got to remember, the team was pretty steady back in those days too. There wasn't a lot of changes when you had, Hayden Langer, Ponting, Gilchrist, Warne, McGrath. Those guys were just locks into any team that was ever put on the park. Michael Clarke was in that group as well. So, there wasn't as much. There was a lot more settled than it's now. There's also a lot more guys playing domestic cricket too. You'd seen them. You'd seen what they've done. It's just a different world we live in. Like, there's no way there would have been a one-day series 4 weeks out from the Test series back in the glory years. The guys would have been preparing. But it is modern-day cricket. There's nothing we can do about it. And, sometimes ex-players, they get all a bit frustrated with that. But cricket's a commercial game now, and these games mean significant dollars to Australia and the coffers, and it is what it is.
Our 2 for 22 segment on Summer Grandstand on ABC Sport. Looking forward to the Ashes between Australia and England. Former Australian fast bowler Stuart Clarke is with you. So if we look forward to the series between the two sides, where do you see the biggest weaknesses for both Australia and England?
Australia, I think their biggest weakness, they haven't really got a settled lineup, or if they do, we don't know about it. That's probably the option. Then usually we've been in, good opening pair. Marnus is he's got runs in domestic cricket to start the season, so you'd imagine he's a lock now. And then you've got the Paddy Cummins issue. Like, we've had our three fast bowlers for most of the last 4 or 5 Test series. They've been available for every game. So that's where, but the unknown is almost the Australian's biggest challenge. With England, I think it's in the spin bowling department. That's, Bashir's not exactly a noted, especially in our conditions. And then there's also a lot of these guys are untested in hot Australian conditions, and then the batters on wickets that bounce. So there's challenges across the board, but it's almost the fear of the unknown, because some of these guys just haven't played out here for England.
We're at this time of year where we're seeing predicted teams, and which would be the strongest team if you combine the both. Who do you think, which players will have the biggest impact on this series?
I think it's going to be a bowler-friendly series. The bowlers, if you look at what England have brought out, they've got a bunch of quicks that can all get the ball up over, around about 90 mile an hour plus. Wood and Archer, they can get really right up into the high 90s. In Australia, you've got just the stalwarts that have been around for so long in Mitchell Starc and Josh Hazlewood. They've been just, doing the job over and over again for years and years and years. So I think it'll be ball dominated. I'm interested to see what the wickets look like. Are they going to be green? Are they going to have a bit of life in them? That's a bit of the unknown. And then with the batting, Smith and whatever it is. But with England, can the likes of Harry Brook and Joe Root, can Joe Root conquer what he hasn't been able to do, and they score 100 in Australia?
And in terms of the captains, it might be Steve Smith doing the majority of the work, depending on whether Pat Cummins does get back. But Ben Stokes, both will have their challenges. Who do you think has the biggest?
Oh, I... No, look, I think Smith's done it before. And look, and Ben Stokes. I think Ben Stokes, just because he's got a bunch of guys that haven't played a lot of cricket in Australia, and it is different. The ball does bounce. You do play with the Kookaburra and not the Duke, so it's a different ball that doesn't swing all day. I think Ben Stokes, but it's a much of a muchness. Ben Stokes is a quality player, and he's a quality leader.
Is there a particular ground in this series where you think Australia or England need to win? I mean, you feel like England have to start promisingly, don't they?
Yeah, they start in Perth, so that's going to be a challenge. I think, you know, the first two test matches are going to set the tone because they go Perth on a bouncy quick wicket, so that'll set the tone. And then they go to Brisbane for a day-night test match, and the ball will usually dominate those matches as well. So we might have a really good inkling into where this series is going after two tests. And if it's 1-1 or 2-0 or whatever it may be, I think we'll have a good answer. It's going to be tight or it might be a bit of a blowout.
And let's hope by that stage we're not putting SOS calls to Pat Cummins that we need him to come back as quickly as he can. Former Australian fast bowler Stuart Clarke is with you on Summer Grandstand on ABC Sport. We're in our 2 for 22 segment. This is the part you're really going to like, Stu. So the hard-hitting questions. Who is going to take the most wickets in your eyes?
Josh Hazlewood.
Oh, I like it. Who do you see as the top run scorer for the series?
Oh, that's a toughie. I will go with Steve Smith, and I think it'll only just shadow Joe Root.
What's one headline you think we'll be reading by the end of the Ashes?
Baz-ball in Australia, maybe not.
Yep, I could see that. And if you had to call the series result today, what's your prediction?
4-1 Australia.
4-1 Australia. Beautifully done. Stuart Clarke, lovely to hear from you last night throughout the call, and hopefully we cross paths. Where are you off to? You off to Manuka?
No, I'm specialist Sydney. I'll be in Melbourne for the Melbourne test match, but sticking around home base this year.
All right, I think I have non-official business, so I might have to come and see you at some stage. Thanks for joining us.
Good on you, Clinchy. Have a good weekend.